From the studios of KPCW in Park City, it's This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our relationship with it. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak. Thanks for tuning in.
I'm Nell Larson. My co-host Chris Cherniak is taking a little time off, so guest host Katie Wang is here to fill in. And joining us now is Wendy Fisher, the executive director of Utah Open Lands. And she's here to talk with us about a transportation study that's going on right now in Kimball Junction and how this might impact our local conservation work. So Wendy, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
I'm happy to be here.
So let's, because this is a little bit of a complex scenario, let's start with just a description of this area plan, as it's called. What motivated this planning and why is it being done?
Well, I think that we all understand that there's clearly an issue with traffic congestion as you get off of I-80 and you head through the Kimball Junction area. So, you know, it makes sense that the county and UDOT are looking at how do we make sure that this roadway doesn't fail from a transportation perspective. And so they're looking at different alternatives that could help alleviate the congestion going through the Kimball Junction area, which certainly I think we all realize is something that's necessary, and we understand it. It sure impacts our daily lives. So that's why they've embarked on a study of what could some alternatives be that could alleviate the traffic congestion at the Kimball Junction area.
I think that, you know, as you describe that, that's definitely something that we all welcome. I would be surprised if any Summit or Wasatch County resident, you know, hadn't kind of experienced that that traffic in the Kimball Junction area. The reason, of course, that we have on you, the executive director of a land trust, to talk about a traffic study is because there's a potential, one of the selected alternatives is an alternative that would impact some of your conservation land, right?
Yeah, and actually there are two alternatives that actually go through land that is considered to be open space. One has a conservation easement on it, the High Ute Ranch. The other is the land that's adjacent to the Olympic Sports Park. And that area, you know, both of them, there was funding that came through, you know, some of the open space bond monies. And I think, you know, just jumping in right off the bat, I think one of the things that has Utah Open Lands concerned is the fact that, especially with respect to alternative two, which goes through the High Ute Ranch, if you look at UDOT's own screening process, there already were some fatal flaws in that alternative that should have just removed it from any sort of consideration. And so, you know, that's the first thing. There's also additional elements that a transportation agency should take into account that have to do with some of the federal regulations as well. But I think the thing that we look at is it really sends the wrong message to landowners and private donors who support open space, because let's face it, if High Ute Ranch had been developed into the factory outlet stores, you wouldn't be seeing an alternative going through this. And I don't think that's the message that we want to send. So that's one of the reasons that we have concerns and that we'd like people to take the survey that UDOT has to let UDOT know that this alternative doesn't work. I think the other thing that, you know, I want to make sure that people understand too is that the Millennium Trail goes through this area, and this alternative trail would remove the Millennium Trail in that particular location. And they falsely state that Millennium Trail can be moved further west on the High Ute Ranch open space. And that's actually something that they didn't vet, and that's not true. It would have a lot of impacts if they did put the road through there. It's kind of the slippery slope.
One of the things that you mentioned is that the High Ute Ranch open space has a conservation easement on it. For people who aren't maybe familiar with that mechanism for protecting land, can you describe how that works?
Yeah, so a conservation easement is a deed restriction that is entered into between a landowner and a land trust organization. It takes its authority from both Utah code and federal code. And basically, it is a permanent public trust that is codified through the language in the conservation easement. And it is true, and this is why we have concerns, conservation easements are not necessarily safe from condemnation. However, Utah Open Lands is bound by the terms of the conservation easement to defend this conservation easement and the open space from condemnation. And that's something that we are prepared to do, but we also think that having public input saying, no, don't go through this conservation easement is really, really critical for all of our open spaces. Because, you know, I don't think that there has been in Summit County a condemnation of a conservation easement. So we don't want to set that precedent here. We want to clearly say that when we've protected open space, we want it to remain protected.
Wendy, could you explain a little bit more for the layperson what a condemnation means? I presume it means that one can then crack open the agreement to develop this road if that's what's decided, but does that then undo the entire process? Just a little more kind of what that means.
Yeah, so, you know, a condemnation process, and Utah Open Lands has fought condemnation processes before. And, you know, your question is a really good one, and it really isn't going to be known until you go through that process. Because part of what you need to look at is, you know, does the action that they take, does it significantly impair the conservation values? And in this particular instance, we think it would have a dramatic impact on the scenic value of that open space, which is one of the conservation values that was protected. It also, as I said, would completely destroy the trail easement that goes through the conservation easement for the Millennium Trail. So the question as to, you know, whether it would further impact the rest of the conservation easement is something you can't know until you end up going through that process. But it becomes messy, and again, that's why we see it as the slippery slope, just because it will have an impact, and it begins to potentially set a precedent. And from our perspective, you know, again, we think it's amazing when landowners choose a conservation solution for their property. But then in addition to that, when we have landowners who are willing to donate a portion of the value, and when we have private donors and foundations that also help leverage our open space dollars in the community. And that's exactly what happened with High Ute Ranch. And so we don't want to send the wrong message.
You know, you mentioned that the Millennium Trail, if this road were routed kind of through the High Ute Ranch area, the Millennium Trail would be impacted and kind of wouldn't fit there anymore. Was the Millennium Trail considered as part of the transportation picture? You know, I think of that definitely as a transportation trail because it connects you from kind of that one side of Kimball Junction over to the other without having to bike through all of the, you know, the traffic of the highway interchange. And I'm curious if that was considered as part of the process so far.
I think that's an excellent question, Nell, and that's part of our concern. The way that it's stated in the alternatives, if you look through the staff report and also if you take the survey, it just says that the Millennium Trail will be moved further west on the ranch. And again, that's a false statement. UDOT did not talk to the landowner. They haven't talked to Utah Open Lands. That Millennium Trail, which I agree, I think it's one of the more scenic portions of the Millennium Trail. It's just really what we want to see when we do trail development, that it's on the edge of this open space, but it's a specific easement through, you know, High Ute. So moving it west, there are all sorts of issues and complications. There's an existing ranch road that you can't really see that accesses the back of the property. So it's just going to have a multiplying effect. And again, I agree with you. You know, they said, oh, it could be moved. That's something that is not the case. And so it does not meet that stipulation of continuing to encourage these other modes of transportation, being, you know, biking and that element of our alternative transportation.
But so even though this trail, the Millennium Trail, can't be moved, you're seeing flaws in what they're presenting, it sounds like, but it's still part of the survey. I mean, it sounds like it's also one of the options. I have to admit, I went through the survey and I found it was pretty complicated to understand.
Yeah.
Kind of what, you know, a Texas U-turn, I don't even know what that is.
The traffic terminology was overwhelming.
It's like, I need a PhD in traffic. But so how do you suggest people kind of access this information? And you know, certainly you want people's opinion to take the survey, but, you know, it sounds like there's flaws kind of embedded into it, which is kind of disheartening to hear, because potentially people could be voting for something or choosing something that's really not a viable option.
Yeah, I think that that's the tough thing. And, you know, certainly I do not envy UDOT. I think that it definitely, these are tough things to have to go through. But a lot of what they're asking for as well, beyond the open space, is does this really solve the transportation issue? And so in taking the survey, I agree, it's complicated. And, you know, I'm pretty familiar with some of these things, even though, you know, road engineering is not part of my job description. but I think that what I look at is, does it solve the transportation issue? And, you know, on this particular alternative, alternative two, I think it could be argued that it just shifts the burden, because in order to access this alternative in the HOV lane that they're talking about, I'm guessing that you would get off at Jeremy Ranch. And so do you just shift some of the transportation issues over there? You know, and it, of course, it's reliant upon changing people's human behavior as well. So that's, I think, what I look at in terms of taking the survey for all of the alternatives is, one, there are some questions about whether it's going to impact some of the environment. There's questions about, you know, is it going to impact some of these alternative routes of transportation like trails, or does it improve it? And then there's also, you know, just does it actually satisfy the issue? And that's, I think, one of the ways to look at taking the survey is, you know, looking at the alternatives that potentially would best address the issue.
Wendy, I want to take a minute and explore the conservation values, I guess, as we call them, of the impacts of what a road routed through the edge of the Hyatt Ranch, about what those impacts would be. Because I think, you know, maybe when you first think about it, okay, this is just like a small strip of land at the edge of the, you know, at the edge of the ranch. Is it a huge impact? And you kind of mentioned, you know, one of the important pieces is the feel, that aesthetic when there's a busy road there instead of a trail. How does that make you feel when you're next to that open space? But also those ecological impacts. I'm sure that you guys are kind of analyzing, okay, how does this impact, you know, the water, the runoff in the area? How does this impact, you know, the native plants? Because noxious weeds tend to spread along roads, you know. What are some of your concerns other than just the presence of the road?
Right. No, I think that's exactly what we start looking at. And, you know, it's really hard to look at a dotted line drawn on a map and really understand what the impacts are going to be. You know, how large does the roadway have to be to accommodate, you know, the speeds? Does it further open up the opportunity of, hey, well, you know, now we need to have a separated highway going through here? And, you know, 5-10 years down the road, we're looking at expanding that right-of-way even further. But you're absolutely right. There's going to be runoff that'll happen from that road that'll then get into the creek that is right there running through Hyatt Ranch. It just would impact the visual value of that. You'd probably lose that beautiful, I think there's a peach leaf willow tree that you would lose. You'd lose some of the cottonwood trees that are there. You know, you would be disturbing all of the native vegetation that's there. How you approach, in other words, how you'd get off of Kilby and then onto that road, based on what they'd have to do to ensure that the right grade was there. there's just a multiplying effect. And again, it's hard to see from a dotted line that is on a map. But even if you look underneath that dotted line, you look at the aerial map, you'd realize that at the very least, in addition to the fact that they'd want to carve the road through there, they'd be right on top of the existing ranch road that goes to the back of the property. And so that would then have to be moved. Again, the conservation easement doesn't allow for new roads. So what we look at is that there is this additional impact on the rest of the conservation values from a visual perspective. There's the impact on that trail and the recreation value. It would change the trail that goes along the front of the property as well. And then in addition to that, the impacts from runoff that you're going to see that would impact the stream and the pond that's there. So what I think is tough about these sorts of situations is that, yeah, to a certain extent, open space can become a target for where we try to solve some of the planning issues that we didn't solve when the development was going in. And again, we think that that's just not the way to do it, along with all of the other impacts that could potentially come to the conservation values on the property.
So we've been really focusing on kind of the High Ute piece, of course, because that's where Utah Open Lands holds a conservation easement. But you also mentioned one of the other alternatives impacts the open space in front of the Utah Olympic Park. Can you give us a little bit more detail on that piece?
So I believe that both in Alternative 2 and then also in Alternative 4, there's going to be an extension from it's proposed that there would be an extension through that open space from the roundabout. So if you are taking the Olympic, heading up to the Olympic Sports Park, there's a roundabout that's there. And one of the alternative two and alternative four, would extend that road from the roundabout up to about where the Bear Hollow development is.
Okay. All right. We're looking at each other, visualizing this, and is in our heads as you're talking, and we'll have to go revisit those maps.
It's parallel to 224. It's basically, okay, if you look at that roundabout, so the second stoplight as you're coming off of I-80, the first stoplight is right there by the McDonald's, and then the next stoplight is by the visitor center that heads up to where the tech park area is. And there's a roundabout that's there, and then you can take the road that goes up to the Olympic Sports Park. It's at that roundabout that there would be a road that would be parallel to 224 that then would go to, I believe it's what they call Bear Cub Drive.
And it would be a single
lane. And then it would join 224.
Wow.
It's hard to kind of, I mean, having driven, I live in Pine Brook, so I drive those roads all the time, but, you know, it kind of just reminds me of that kind of fallacy of, oh, we'll just add another lane because it'll decrease traffic, and then suddenly, well, turns out that then traffic expands to meet the wider road. So, you know, you kind of think of these plans of adding another kind of single road in there. You know, how much would that alleviate traffic, and for how long?
Yeah, and I think that is the key to all of this. I mean, ultimately, there's an issue. There's traffic congestion. Mm-hmm. And there are alternatives that are being presented. And fundamentally, I think all of our goals are and should be, what is the best alternative that's really going to provide the alleviation of that transportation issue? Because you're exactly right. If we provide some other alternative that either because we can't change human behavior or because we just simply have a multiplying effect of the traffic, then we haven't really solved the issue. And we're going to be addressing this again, and we're going to be impacting some other piece of land or open space, or, you know, having this issue come up again. And so that's what I think is really important, is really to think about, yeah, it's painful. None of these solutions are going to be great in terms of how much they cost and the, you know, the momentary additional congestion from doing additional construction to deal with it. But then ultimately, let's find a solution that at the end of the day solves the issue and really kind of does its best to put it to bed. And I think those points that you just made, Katie, are really key. That's what we should be focusing on here.
And the survey is, I know it's been extended, so when's the deadline and how can people access it?
So the deadline is February 12th. Originally, the deadline was January 30th or 31st, I believe. So they have extended it. They, as of Monday, they had about 150 responses. So again, we definitely think people should be taking it. And I believe that KPCW has a link to it. Certainly, you can go to Utah Open Land's website. We have a link to it as well. And those are probably the best ways. When we went to try and find the survey originally, it was kind of hard to find. So we actually had to call UDOT to figure out exactly how to link to it. But I'm pretty sure that you have on KPCW's website a link to the survey, and certainly you can link to it on Utah Open Land as well.
Well, fantastic. Wendy, thanks so much for joining us this morning to fill us in on the details from the conservation perspective for this project. If people want to get in touch with Utah Open Lands for more information, what's the best way to do that?
You can call us at 801-463-6156, or you can email me directly at wendy@utahopenlands.org.
Fantastic. That's Wendy Fisher, the Executive Director of Utah Open Lands. Wendy, we'll be in touch.
Thanks.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of This Green Earth.
And if you did, we hope you'll take a minute to rate us, share us, and leave a comment.
You can email us your thoughts and ideas for future shows at thisgreenearth@kpcw.org.
Join us next week on This Green Earth.